Turn to Acts, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read the first verses here, just mainly to get the setting here of when this happened. This is in the 7th chapter was the stoning of Stephen. And we know how he gave a powerful sermon to his people, Israel, the Jews. But they did not receive it at all. And we know also that Saul was there, who later became Paul. And then when the 8th chapter, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. You see why later he calls himself that he was the chiefest of sinners? My, my, my. And of course, we're reading this of what he did unto the believers, but really, he was fighting Jesus, wasn't he? And therefore, verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. This is the history of the early church in Jerusalem, and they were under great persecution, and it just caused the believers to flee that place, to leave. And so they were scattered abroad. And the devil is the one that instigated the persecution. Well, we know he's against the things that would... But God, even though Satan instigated it, God allowed it because God has some purposes. And he allowed it to bring about his purposes. And we read him right here in this 4th verse. And that purpose was that the truth would be spread everywhere in the known world at that time. Persecution scattered the seed of God's word. And the Lord wanted the gospel preached in all the world. We read in Mark, the 16th chapter, right there at the end of that book of Mark. I'm not going to turn there because I've written it down here. But Jesus said unto his disciples before he went back to heaven, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you see the hand of God in allowing this. Of course, Satan was fighting against the truth, but God allowed it because he has some purposes, and they wouldn't have been going out and spreading the gospel if they hadn't have been persecuted and they were fleeing that persecution. But everywhere they went, they preached the word. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I was always wondered why it says he went down, because Samaria is actually north of Jerusalem. But anyway, that's the way it reads here. Maybe from their viewpoint, it was going down. But we're going to read later of him going down the gospel, and that is a going down from Jerusalem. But anyway, that's beside the point. That's not important. What is important here is that Philip, he preached the Christ in Samaria, and there was a great revival. There was great joy in that city, and the ones that had turned to the Lord. And so there was wonderful results from his preaching of the word. And, you know, one reason why it was so successful was because of the readiness that it was received by the people. When they heard, they believed. You remember about Samaria? You remember back in the Old Testament, there was Judah and then there was Israel. Israel was, that's Samaria. That was the 10 tribes. And they came under God's judgment first before Judah, quite a bit before. And many of them were carried away captive into, away from the 10 tribes there. And then their captors also infiltrated their people into Samaria. So the people of Samaria were mixed blood. They were not full-blooded Jews. But anyway, we see Philip here. He goes to them preaching Christ. And he's preaching a person. He's not giving forth any creed or rules of conduct, but a living, vital person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9, "And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done." So that's why he joined and pretended to be a believer also, because he was, you know, one that was dealing in sorceries, and he's seeing all these miracles and signs that were following the preaching of the word. Well, this religious dealer, we might say, in witchcraft, had deceived the people. And we read something very common of such persons, and that is self-exaltation. He made that he was someone great, and he really deceived the people. Well, there's a vast number of unregenerated professors in Christendom today. Professors. These self-appointed, man-ordained leaders make themselves out to be great ones. A dear brother that I have known years ago, he's in glory now, Brother Carson Richards, he called them the big boys. Well, people are influenced by them When they make themselves out to be someone great, people are more influenced by them than they are the true, loyal servants of Christ. And many are deceived by some of these grand schemes that they give forth of character building, how to be this and how to overcome, how to perform the word of God in your life. What is that kind of preaching? That's works of the flesh. Works of the flesh, because who is working the word of God as we yield unto the Lord in our lives? It's the Holy Spirit. That is his job. And if we're trying to take the word and follow some formulas that it's going to make us overcomers that we are doing, it's works of the flesh. Isn't it a lot better to read the word, yielding to the Lord, and letting him make the changes in our life by the Holy Spirit? Trusting in the Holy Spirit, trusting God. Well, if it's not the gospel that was revealed to the Apostle Paul for the church, what is it then? It's false doctrine. And it leads persons away from Christ. For Christ is the center and the circumference of all God's plans and purposes for mankind. Praise the Lord. These are false leaders, just like we're reading here of Simon. They are professors, but not possessors. They motivate people to follow them instead of following the Lord and yielding to God. They lead people away from the Lord, and he's the true light. You know, they can appear to believe. They can even talk, sometimes some pretty good talk, using especially word love, and I could go on and on about that, but I'm not going to. They appear to believe, and they may even be baptized, but they have no inward change unless they are leading to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, there's no other way to the Father except by me. All right, verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they said unto them, Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, they were saved and they were baptized, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. So Peter and John were sent to pray for them, that they might. And verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Peter and John prayed for these new believers that they might receive, and they did. They had, you know, when a sinner receives Christ, what happens? We have new life, don't we? New life. We have assurance of sins being forgiven. And then when the Holy Spirit is received, the believer has God's given power for victory. Yes, victory in our lives. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that, here he is, we see why he joined unto them. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God, the Holy Ghost is the gift of God to his people, that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. He didn't even pray to the Lord, did he? We see that something about him right here. Yes. God's favor and God's blessing certainly cannot be bought with money. Even though there are religious leaders that you even hear upon in the TV, they can convey that very thought. But Peter's words were spoken in the power of the Holy Spirit. To these wicked men that make merchandise of the gospel. Is that going on today? Oh, yes. There's many who are making merchandise of the gospel. And what did he say? By the power of the Holy Spirit, thy money shall perish with you. Repent and pray. If not, then the punishment of such will be greater than that of other wicked men. You know why? Because they deceived and lead the people astray. And in God's eyes, that is a greater sin. Leading the people astray instead of leading them to Christ and pretending to be religious leaders. Verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. That's wonderful. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. I think all of you are fairly familiar if you watch the news and see anything about Israel and where Gaza is. And it is south of Jerusalem, south and also west. And it is desert. It is desert. God chooses his men, don't he? God does it, not men. He does the choosing. And Philip, you might, in today's language, we might say, well, he was just a layman. He wasn't one of the apostles, but he was used of God. God used him. God, he equips and he uses men, not by boards appointing them, not by some committee. That's the way things are done today Christendom. But God uses men that are really interested in God's business. And God deals with individuals. I thought that's something that really stands out here. He deals with individuals. The Lord takes Philip away from, he was having a successful revival. And we read here that Philip obeyed. And he went out to the desert. Verse 27, and he arose, Philip arose, and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I heard somebody one time say, well, that meant he was saved. No, it doesn't mean that he was saved. He came to worship the God of the Jews. And verse 28, this Ethiopian eunuch was returning. He went to Jerusalem for to worship and was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet, the Jewish prophet Isaiah. Yes. This man wasn't saved because he hadn't heard of Christ yet. He hadn't heard. He didn't know. He came to worship the God of the Jews, and he was reading the Jewish prophet Isaiah. And note how God uses individuals. I think this is wonderful. It stands out here. And God uses us as individuals. Jesus worked to the words when he addressed the church, and especially we find it in the seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3. He says, he that overcometh. He, see, individual, he that overcometh. We are responsible individually to hear God's voice, to hear the voice of the Lord, and to obey. All right, let's read verse 29 and 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? The Spirit directs here exactly what Philip is to do. And aren't you, we're impressed that Philip ran in obedience. It says he ran thither and heard him. And he was, even though he was taken from that successful ministry that he had, and he's been, the Lord has had him go to this place of isolation and loneliness of the desert, he's led by the Spirit. And this Ethiopian, which had great authority, as we read here in verse 27, no doubt it was a large, luxurious chariot. Verse 31, and he said, how can I, this is the Ethiopian, how can I except some man should guide me? You know, Philip had said, understandest thou what thou readest? He says, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? So we know by what we read here, he was reading chapter 53 of Isaiah. And when folks read the scripture searching for understanding, God will lead them, and for he knows all things. And Philip, now he knows why he was sent to this place. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Yes, he preached Jesus to him. And the scriptures are full of him. Not just Isaiah chapter 53. The scriptures are Old Testament, New Testament. They are full of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Bible is certainly a hymn book, H-I-M, a hymn book, and he can be found on every page. There is a distinction used here in the names that it tells that Philip preached to the Samaritans, who were partly Jews, we might say half, and he preached Christ, which means the anointed one. He preached Christ unto them. And the Samaritans, as I said before, they were of the 10 tribes of Israel. To this Gentile, Ethiopian, he preached Jesus, the Savior. Of course, both are one person, but see who he was speaking to, why we see the difference in the name here. He was speaking unto those that should have known something about the Christ, because they had knew and was looking for their Messiah. And here, the Ethiopian, he's a Gentile. Praise the Lord. So to Israel first, he is their Messiah. He's their king. And though it's not denying his redemption, but to all other peoples, and all other peoples, if they're not Jew, I mean, they're Gentiles, then he is first Redeemer, and then he is King. Philip made the eunuch to understand that Isaiah was preaching Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and the Ethiopian believed. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I think I'm going to go ahead and read verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Well, I'll read that again later, but in Romans 10:9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans 10:9. And praise the Lord, this Ethiopian, he confessed with his mouth, didn't he? And he believed in his heart. Praise the Lord. And so they went down into the water, we read in verse 38. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So they went down in the water, and they came up out of the water. That is the scriptural way of being baptized. We know there's others that teach something else, but this is the scriptural way. And why is it? Because baptism is symbolic of Christ's death and resurrection. See that? Going down in the water and coming up. Symbolic of Christ's death and resurrection. I think this Ethiopian, when he went back to his country, I believe he shared this message of Jesus, don't you? I don't think he kept quiet about it. I think he shared it. And that's the way God works. Just like they're fleeing a persecution. And the word of Jesus, the good news of the gospel was spread. You know, and individuals going from place to place, we should spread the gospel, shouldn't we? That's the way it should be with us. June and David have informed me of something I didn't know about my next door neighbor. He's always been very helpful to us and done things for us, and he calls every once in a while and wants to know how we are and is there anything we need, and he lives north of us, and I understand from June and David, was he had a garage sale, and they went over and they was talking to him, and they've talked to him before, and they found out that he has a very serious condition and was only given 8 months to live. He and five of them are already gone. And I thought, I should have been sharing the gospel with him. I should have been talking to him about Jesus. June and David believe he's a saved man, but I do know something of his history. He had a daughter who committed suicide, and he just went bonkers. He just really went kind of crazy. And I'm sure he didn't live very good during that time, as far as, and I know he doesn't attend church, but praise the Lord. That's a prayer request of mine, that the Lord will open up the opportunity and the door for me to talk to him. So we want to share the good news, don't we? Yeah. And as we're journeying through this life, let's share it. Let's speak to others. Some think, well, oh, that's just the pastor's place. Well, here's something I thought. Sheep beget sheep. So we got to think about that a little bit. Sheep beget sheep. And it's very clear in the scripture that the shepherd is to feed the sheep and to lead them. So may we all be, we might say, missionaries to those that are around us, those that we come in contact with, whether it's business matters or just a social gathering or friendliness to our neighbors. Well, what better friendliness could there be than sharing the good news? Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I have tonight. I didn't finish reading, though, did I?
Disciples.
Yes, disciples. And disciples are followers of Christ, aren't they? And Philip was caught away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Well, I thought I'd better finish reading the chapter anyway. That's all I have tonight. And